Welcome to the Property Couch, where each week you get to listen to two of Australia's leading property experts. Bryce Holdaway, co-host of Location, Location, Location Australia on Foxtel's Lifestyle Channel, and Ben Kingsley, Chair of Property Investment Professionals of Australia and the 2014 and 2015 Property Investment Advisor of the Year.
All right, folks, you're on the Property Couch for each week. Ben and I bring you the Insider's Guide to Property Finance and Money Management. Hello, mate.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Very good. Mate, I'm rested.
Rested?
I've come back.
You've come back. A little draft camp. No, what was it, the week before finals? You just rested?
Yeah. I just had that week off and went over to Fiji with the family, which was terrific. But, mate, how are you?
It's footy finals. Yeah. It's all good.
Up and about?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't really want the Tigers to win, but happy that Essendon lost as a Collingwood supporter. We don't like these other Melbourne clubs, successful big Melbourne clubs having too much success, so...
So who are you going for now?
Well,
so,
it still said GWS.
So you won't go for a Victorian side?
No, I'm not going to get on the bandwagon. No, I'm not going to jump on. I mean, we've got enough people in this office who are telling me all about it. Especially, you know, the irony of that when they lost by 20 goals at the last round of last year against Sydney. Yeah. 20 goals, mate, they wanted his head. The coach has got to go. Yeah. Everything's got to change. It's amazing.
So, Elvis, we've got this little cartoon that just sent through to us from Dean. So we'll put that up on social media about all the Victorians jumping on the bandwagon. It's absolutely hilarious.
It's very good.
So we'll send it up. So if you're not part of our social media, folks, at The Property Couch, go and check it out.
So GWS, just a message there. Come on, boys. You've got unbelievable talent. Just bring a bigger mongrel with you on the weekend and, you know, do the job.
Paint Chardonnay.
Get the job done.
Chardonnay footy, aren't
they? And then go to Adelaide and get the job done.
Hey, let's talk about the really important things, mate. Your handsome dial is on the cover of the Money
magazine.
My moon
face.
Seriously?
My moon face.
How many years ago was that photo?
Oh, a few years ago now. I don't know where they... So if you're listening, Effie, can you just change my picture that you've got in stock there? That's an old photo, that one.
The girls will come knocking. But well done on cover story. I've got one for next month, so yes. We'll see if, you know, if I get my baby face up there.
Yeah, no doubt it'll be all there. I just get pushed in the corner, mate. You know, I've got a face for radio.
Yeah, and of course our realestate.com.au collaboration event.
Yes.
Had a brief pause and now it's fired back up again. So again, get on our social media. And you'll see the next one. Four ways a property investor will pay, Ben.
Oh, four ways a property investor will pay. Check it out.
Check it out. And last little bit of housekeeping before we kick into the show, Ben, is we've got the Sydney Property Buyer Expo coming up.
We do.
We're going to do a live record, as we tend to do at these wonderful events. And they've got a big lineup this event, Ben. So, Property Couch listeners, stick around. If you aren't, if you aren't one of our social media followers, go and follow the social media, because Ivis is going to put up a free ticket link in our social media in the ensuing days.
Sydney show. So it's on in October 19 to 21. Is that right?
Sounds right.
Something about that. I think it's 19 to 21.
We'll just double scramble check. For a quick...
Friday the 20th, sorry. Yep. Friday the 20th to Sunday 22. The 22nd.
Yep.
And we were doing a couple of presos there as well.
So we love it when the couch listeners come up and say good day. So please come up and say good day.
Totally.
Let's get some selfie action. We can send it off to Ivis so she can put it up on our social media. So our camera will be ready. And come and say good day, because we'll be nervous about approaching the couch listeners, Ben. So they need to come and tap us.
Yeah, we don't know who they are.
Yeah.
So. All four of them.
Mindset minute today for me is because I've just been to Fiji. Have you been to Fiji?
I have. I had my honeymoon in Fiji.
Oh, me too.
Vetelele.
Really?
Little nice little pub.
I got married in Fiji and then honeymooned in Fiji.
There you go.
And then done the loop 10 years later.
Well, I went there for our 40th, so our high school 40th group went there as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Mate, you're just a travelling machine, seriously.
But mate, it's one of my big rocks in the jar. All I want to do is travel.
Yeah. You haven't done a lot since I met you, but prior to that, you've done heaps. Yeah. So we got we were being ferried around. We got a friend in Melbourne who connected us with a local in Fiji, Ben. Yep. So we got the traveller experience rather than the tourist experience, which was phenomenal. And mate, what I took away from spending, you know, 4 or 5 days with this wonderful man was that the Fijians don't worry about tomorrow.
Nope.
And hence Fiji time, island time. But it's interesting, he goes, look, we are all about catching up with our friends, spending our money on food, bringing people together through food, and drinking lots of cava, but also just having chats at the end of the day. And I just thought, I walked away from that going, you know what? They're in a third world environment, but mm-hmm. they certainly got first world views on, you know, none of them are stressed, none of them anxious. If they're feeling a little bit of anxiety, they drop some cava down the hatch and they are well and truly happy. But, mate, we went to an orphanage on the way through. Oh, okay. We spoke, saw the little kids. They had the brightest smiles on their face. We gave them a soccer ball. It was really cool, and it just reminded me that, you know, we live in a first world country, but sometimes we forget to put a... We forget to show our pearly whites and smile. And these guys don't have a lot, but they live for the moment. So my mindset message today is just remember every now and then to slow down and actually live for the moment, because tomorrow's got enough cares of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to myself here as much as I'm talking to the listeners.
I'm guilty of racing to tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes.
So there we go. Mindset means slow down and live for the moment, Ivis.
I like it. Very philosophical. I like it a lot.
Today, Ben, I thought spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung.
In rumour.
Yeah. Not in Melbourne, it hasn't.
Yeah. I was going to say, God, it's a rumour.
Yeah.
Whilst I was away, it was blizzard conditions. I come home on the weekend. It was
horrible.
So we thought we might revisit some negotiation tactics.
Love it.
For spring, for people that are out pounding the pavement, buying real estate, Ivis, looking to get a deal done this week. So, and I'm, you know, some of these we've talked about before, but the first one for me, Ben, is just a reminder that it's not always about price.
Yep.
We were talking to a client this morning and we were talking about condition. Sometimes we've had deals where the price that we have paid has actually been less than an alternative offer, but our conditions were superior.
Mm.
So my big message around it's not just about the price is be absolutely crystal clear as best you can to find out what the vendor motivation is. And then, as Stephen Covey says in The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, first seek to understand, then be understood. Once you know what the other party wants, you structure your offer that might just distract them on price by giving them the things they want.
Ultimately, it's about win-win, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, great negotiating is about finding that center where there's a good outcome. If you're going to negotiate hard in a competitive market, well, guess what? You know, the agent's not going to give you the time of day.
Mm.
They're not going to call you back the next day. You might be sitting there at your barbecue bragging about how you tried to negotiate. Well, you've got nothing to show for it. And usually when you do have something to show for it in terms of being able to, you know, negotiate super hard, you bought into a location that's probably questionable in the first instance. So, you know, let's be mindful that we want to go into areas where there is a level of interest and good demand, and we're not going to necessarily get bargains each time, and especially when the property with the sun setting a little bit higher, the leaves are now out on the trees, everything's sort of, you know, the property's being seen its best light, you're going to have to be mindful that's why people sell in the spring selling season. It's because they want you to be emotionally connected to the property.
It's a good season to be buying too, because a lot of people will think that it's better to sell in spring because the buyers are out.
Yeah.
But if you've got an A-grade property, it's actually better, and you're in Melbourne and Sydney, for example, which is built up metropolises, it's actually better to sell in winter.
Correct.
Because it's not as if everyone in Melbourne and Sydney is right. You know, it's not like, you know, Queensland where it gets a bit cold and they won't go out. It's they're more than happy to go and look at good real estate. So if you've got limited supply, increased demand in winter, makes sense. But as a buyer, spring is a good time. But when I'm talking about vendor motivations, try and find out, you know, is there death involved? Is there debt? Is there divorce? Because, you know, if it's divorce, for example, it's just bitter. Mm. Sometimes the money's forgotten. They just want to get out. Yeah. So if you can offer a really short settlement or an unconditional offer, these are the things that are really enticing. Or they might just want to get on with it, Ben. And so if you can release the deposit early so that they can make their next move and give them a surety around that, that's something that might be enticing.
I definitely think the upgraders is a big story here in spring, because the perception is, as you were saying, Bryce, that spring is the busiest season. Well, it's actually autumn is the busiest season.
Mm.
But the upsizers absolutely want to be able to get their cash and look to buy that next property, and they're assuming that there's going to be more stock on market at this time of the year.
Yep, no, very, very good. So the next one for people to remember is cash is still king, Ben.
It is. Cash flow, king.
Nothing beats that cash unconditional contract. The amount of times, you know, we've, you know, on the flip side of what we just talked about, when we have gone unconditional, we've been able to just pick up a property quickly at the expense of competition is enormous. So that's the old fashioned, get the ducks lined up. Make sure you're pre-approved. Make sure the deposit's ready to go. Make sure you can actually action the deposit on the day. Make sure you're ready to go quickly. You're not prepared to sort of wait around. If someone offers you a deal and you're ready to go, make a cash unconditional and get it done.
I think so. And I think just also another, everything is negotiable. So you might be sort of sitting back going, well, I've only got an 8% deposit and I've been told I need 10%. You don't necessarily need 10%. You can actually go to the agent who's talking to the vendor and say, you know what? We'll happily take a 5% deposit. So there could be downsizes rather than upsizes and they need that money. So you could actually get permission to negotiate or bid with that as well. So just because you think that you haven't saved up a big enough deposit doesn't mean you can't play this game as well. Because if that's part of what your terms and conditions are, then ultimately you can put an unconditional offer in, especially if you've got your finance sorted.
Ben, you're a very wise man. If you think about what's actually going on, the real estate agent, if you just do a rough rule of thumb, roughly 2% of the purchase price, Ben, is roughly what the agent's probably getting as a commission.
Yes.
Maybe a bit less, maybe a bit more, but rough rule of thumb. So if you're offering a deposit that's big enough to cover their commission, it could be 6% or 5% or 7%. That gives them the sense of security that if anything goes pear after unconditional, they're still going to get their cash.
Correct.
Because it's going to sit in their trust account.
Yes.
If you offer a deposit that's lower than the agent's commission, knock yourself out.
Yeah, I was about to say, for some reason, the vendor won't accept it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's because the agent probably hasn't told them.
They haven't conveyed it. So there you go, folks. There's one for you. Another one, Ben, is we'll call it the knockout offer, but just know that if... Don't be afraid to make an offer in spring that seems a little bit sort of hairy or audacious up front.
Yep.
Just to try and get the property. Because the amount of times you've seen people who turn up, they go, well, I just don't know. I turn up at auction and then they end up spending more under competition, under fast and furious competition that they would have had they done that early in the campaign.
Yep.
People are often surprised. But it's that human, no one ever wants to pay too much. And so it's that awful feeling. The quote range is so far down here and I'm making this big offer up here. It just seems like I've just overpaid. But if you know value, not price, and we've banged on about that for almost 150, 130 episodes. Almost deflated. If you know the value, not the price, and that's because you know what's sold around, don't be afraid to make those calls, Ben. Then give them a cash unconditional contract and then make sure you satisfy what the vendor wants. Mate, you might be able to
You're coming from one of the best negotiators in the game, 20 years of buyer's aging experience, Bryce, you're absolutely on the money. Now, I would also say if it is coming at auction time, I'd actually say that you've got to do that knockout offer early. Don't wait too late in the campaign, because if you're only a week away and the agent's feeding back to the vendors that there's a lot of good interest and they've got two or three buyers, it's unlikely that your knockout offer is going to come to fruition. What we want to see is like, week one of it straight up being listed, bang, here it is, bird in the hand versus potential. And, you know, there's no big feedback already from the agent around other buyers. So they might just take it. They might just take it.
And that's going back to point one, Ben, knowing what the vendor wants.
Correct.
Because the sweet spot for pre-auction offers is typically that first third week, Ben.
Yep.
Because it's far enough away not to step up the campaign, far enough into the campaign so the agent's got enough buyers, they've tested the market and all those sorts of things. But like you say, if you do a knockout early, so many vendors look a gift horse in the mouth on a good knockout in the first week and then they regret it. Because they sometimes never get that offer again. But,
and we know it's an interesting market, especially if you're in Sydney at the moment. We definitely know that stock's up. You know, CoreLogic have released that stock's up around 15% on this time last year. So there's, and people's mood is shifting. Their uncertainty around that. So I would definitely say that if you've got a very strong offer early, you may just get it accepted.
Yeah, and in a hot market, don't lowball.
No, well, you're kidding yourself.
Don't lowball.
You're just not going to be taken seriously by the agent.
Yeah, exactly. The next one is a strategy that's, it's, you know, clever is silly and silly is clever. And by that, you know when you're talking to someone, Ben, and they're just a smart aleck, the last thing you want to do is work with them. The last thing you want to do is give them information. The last thing you want to do is help them versus the person who comes humble and meek and says, oh, you know, I don't know how that works. And you use the word help. Who doesn't want to help someone who comes, you know, authentically and humble? And that's the approach that you need to take with the real estate agent, where if you come across as a smart aleck, you come across as a know-all, that agent's, you know, because agents have got pretty big egos as it is.
Yes.
So you've got to make sure that you cater to that. But if you come across as willing to learn, willing to take on information. And I always say use your ears and your mouth in the proportion that you've got two ears, one mouth, use it in that proportion. Quite often you might catch the agent giving you more information than they ordinarily would, particularly to a smart aleck, which you can then use to frame your offer. Because remember, we're trying to find as much information as we can about the vendor's circumstances, and a good agent is trying to keep the dam wall well and truly guarded. But if you can just let a little bit come out and use that to frame it, frame your offer, you can certainly negotiate a good outcome.
I agree. I mean, aggressive buyers, agents have seen it before, and they don't want to break bread with aggressive buyers. They want to break bread and have a good outcome for the vendor and themselves and so forth. So, you know, it's there's two types of buyers that I think you don't want to be, and that is that aggressive buyer, you know, that sort of smart aleck, know-it-all type buyer, but also the other one that just gives nothing. You know, like if you're giving nothing to the agent trying to think you're keeping all your cards close to your chest, well, like they've got nothing to go by. They don't know whether you're interested or you're a serious buyer or a non-buyer at all, and just, you know, just basically a tie kicker. So it's that that sort of middle ground in terms of letting them know enough, but also, you know, quid pro quo in terms of being able to say, well, you know, I'm asking questions about why they're selling, what's their situation, has their circumstances changed, tell me a little bit more. And on the flip side of that, well, yes, I'm an interested buyer, keep me involved in the campaign, don't sell it without my knowledge. Those have, all of a sudden, there's rapport there, it's been handled in a professional manner, and you're going to get a good result.
I like it. Jack, my eldest 6-year-old, he's in that phase. I don't know if your Jack's got to this phase or past it, but everything, I know, Dad. I know. Like, Dad, I already know.
My 5-year-old's there. My 7-year-old's not.
So I can't remember what it was the other day. He goes, Dad, I know. It's like, mate, I'm just trying to have a conversation, you little cheeky monkey. But that's an effective illustration of, you know, he's giving me the don't argue. It's like, well, I'm not giving him any more information on that, am I? Yeah, so mate. Don't be the 6-year-old Jack when you're dealing with the agent. Don't tell him you know everything.
And young Harry, if you're listening, the same thing, mate. You don't know all of the great players in the AFL. You're
I know.
I know who he is. I know. Do you know? Who does he play for? Oh, yeah. Anyway, we go on.
So the next one for our spring tips, Ben, is it all starts at hello. Remember we had Glenn Cortino on? This is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Remember what he does? Let's the parents go through, no problem, and stops and has a chat to the kids.
Yeah.
And what's he doing? He's collecting information. You're moving to schools. What's mum and dad up to? Brilliant. They've been looking along. So the moment that you walk in the door, whether you're on your own or whether you're with the kids or whatever, at hello, the agent's sizing you up. Because they've only got their time to sell. They want to see if you're legitimate. They want to spend time investing in you. Are you actually really serious about this property? And they're trying to do the exact thing that you're trying to do at Clever is Silly and Silly is Clever. Yeah. They're trying to do that to you. They're trying to find as much as possible. I was clicking.
They do. I totally agree. And how brilliant is it that you basically, the parents are thinking, oh, isn't he nice? We can now walk through the property and have a good look around, and our kids we know are being looked after.
Yeah.
Well, they've got no idea that the kids are giving away all
the... How long have your mum and dad been looking?
Yeah.
Have you looked at many houses around here?
Are they looking?
Have you got a for sale sign at the front?
Oh, yeah, we're selling soon.
Oh, we're thinking of selling. Oh, so straight away he's going to try and get the list. So...
Very clever.
So the agent is definitely sizing you up from the moment go. They're asking lots of qualifying questions.
Yes.
So don't think the negotiation starts down the track. The negotiation starts the moment you walk into the property for the very, very first time.
Well, I think I've told this story before, but just as a refresh, the very first property I bought across the road from mum and dad, I'm 21 years old, I go across and it's going to auction. Now, at the auction, it comes up $119,000, and then I put my hand up, my only bid, $120,000, and I buy the property. And so I go inside, the hammer falls to me, one bid, I go inside and the agent goes to me, gee, I didn't think you were going to get in there. Lucky you did. And he goes, well, I said, how did you know I was going to get in? He goes, because you told me what you were going to pay. I said, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, you did. The first time you walked through the property, I asked you, what do you think the property's worth? And you told me $120,000. And I was going, oh my God. As a 23-year-old, I'm sitting there going, he had me.
Oh.
Like, how naive was I?
Yeah.
He absolutely knew what my price point was. And I put my hand up right when I thought, well, this is my one and only chance to buy the property.
Mm.
And he knew what I was going to pay, because the very first time I walked through the property in the first open, he, you know, in casual conversation, he's asked me, oh, what do you think it's worth? Mm. Oh, it wouldn't be worth any more than 120.
Mm-hmm.
That's me being, you know, the bravado.
That's you being clever as silly.
Yeah, yeah, there he is right there. Yeah. So there you go. So it happens.
So there you go, folks. The it certainly starts at hello. And it does, you don't have to be 23 for that, Ben. You can be 43. A lot of people haven't done...
Just beginners. This is what happens, you know. And you don't buy... you're not buying property every day, are you?
No.
So that's why, you know, you need to know these little tricks
tips.
Yes, we are. Yes, that's true.
But,
several every day.
Several every day. Okay, the next one is... this is Know the Metrics. Now, Ben, we've done a... a podcast on research and location score
indicators.
But there's a couple that you can quickly work on for your particular market. Obviously, in markets outside of the bigger ones of Melbourne and Sydney, or think about our Perth listeners, for example, all they need to do is go and look at the days on market. And that's not hard to work out. So they can see how long the property's been on the market. And also if there's any vendor discounting in that area, because those two metrics are going to help you just get a quick feel for where your negotiating power is.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and if I would add one more in there, so days on market, vendor discounts and auction clearance rates. So most, we're in Melbourne and Sydney, you're going to see publicised in the paper or through a realestate.com domain, those types of things, you will see a breakdown of terms of what's been selling. So it's pretty easy to work out if you're following one or two or three suburbs to be able to work out what is selling. So break down your houses and units and then sort of say, okay, well, we know that there was 8 auctions in Alexandria in Sydney as an example, and 7 of them sold. So, you know that obviously the activity is really strong. And you should also, if you're really following the market in detail, you should be tracking it to basically product type by number of bedrooms.
Mm.
So looking at the types of the demand in your area or your buying zone in terms of, you know, okay, there's 30 auctions that have gone in the zone that I'm looking at, but there's a clearance rate of, say, 68%.
Mm.
So people might say, well, that's not a very good market. But if you actually look at 3- and 4-bedroom houses in that, they could be at 80%.
Mm.
So what's bringing down that auction clearance rate is the units or the 2-bedroom houses. So it really is important to note at that granular level exactly what's going on in that market.
Nice one. So locationscore.com.au obviously can help you with that, but at a very top-line level, just know those couple of metrics, Ben, when you're going into a market, and that'll certainly help you. And then for me, the seventh one is the plan B, or how do you counteract the agent 101 where they say they've got another buyer that's really interested. You've got to have another property that you're interested in, or a viable plan B, so that you're not desperate. Because for an amateur negotiator, that's knee trembling stuff when the agent rings up and said, I've got another buyer and they're interested. So the way you play that is you say, that's fine, I'm prepared to pay what the property's worth and I'm still interested, so keep me posted. And if they say the other person's prepared to put an offer in, that's okay. Well, then you say, well, that's fine. But there's a couple of things, you know, have they done a building inspection?
Yeah.
You know, because quite often, what's the price of the, what's the value of the offer? You know, is it, what any conditions? The agent's well-versed on that.
Totally.
But you can catch them on the, so have they done a building inspection?
Yeah, because that's a great one, because what they're doing, you know, jumping in there, Bryce, but what they're actually doing is someone might have rang up the assistant in the office and says, can you tell me about 1 Smith Street?
Mm.
So the agent's not lying to you by saying, we have had some other interest. But that interest could just be, tell me about the property, as opposed to, so by asking the question around, you know, they've done a building in pest, all of a sudden you're gauging quickly how serious a buyer they are versus, oh, we've got someone else interested in the property. I got an email from a website, you know, saying, can you tell me the price of it? You know, and you get hundreds of those as an agent, because it's very easy to be, you know, sort of behind the scenes and not sort of disclose that. And you don't have to pick up a phone and talk to the agent if you're quite nervous. So that's how they do it. They tell half-truths.
Yeah.
And so by you asking the right questions, you'll get the full truth.
Well, you can get intimidated easily if you're up against an agent. But it's as simple as, oh, cool, have they done a building and pest inspection? No, great. Can I do it when they're doing it?
Yeah.
When have they got it locked in? Just have some questions that you can come back to, so that you can start to flush out some of this stuff. Mm. Quite often, you'll never know. It might be another buyer. And if it's a good property and in a hot market, don't you know, sometimes you got to put your ego at the door, because the agent is in a superior negotiating position in a hot market for an A-grade property in a good suburb. So just don't let your ego get wounded by the fact that you don't have any leverage. But there's a few things you can do to balance the ledger back in your favour. The other thing too is if you've generally got two properties in a market that you like, you can put offers on both and then accept the one that's been, just tell the agent, I'm going to take the one that's accepted first. I mean, that doesn't work in all markets, but just you just genuinely got to have a viable alternative to counteract the agent's one-on-one that there's another buyer.
Well, there's the same way in which the agent's sort of saying, I've got other interest. They're not lying by that. You may have other interest in another property. Now, you don't have to tell the agent that this is the one you absolutely love. By doing that, you're probably playing too strong a hand and they can, you know, you're putty in their hands if you're a novice at this. And so the second point to that is, yes, you would be looking at other properties. It's impossible to say, I'm just looking at one property. There might be other properties that you've got. So if you've got, you know, 2 Jones Street versus 1 Smith Street, the reality is that 2 Jones Street might be your second choice. But the other tip that I would give you is make sure that 2 Jones Street isn't $100,000 more than 1 Smith Street. Because if the agent, you know, they're going to obviously ask you a lot of questions about the other property. Or tell me about the other property. Oh, it's just around the corner. Yeah. Oh, tell me more about it. And if you are, you know, if you push into a corner and you disclose that it's 2 Jones Street, they know that that property is $100,000 more than the one you're looking at. And then they sort of go, you've got deeper pockets.
Yeah.
And I know that you potentially like this property more. So I am going to work over you over to be able to get the best possible deal for my vendor.
Yeah, well, you've got to have one line. It's I'm prepared to pay what the property is worth.
Perfect.
Because they might have seen you at an auction last week that you lost at $100,000.
Yeah.
So you've just got to be prepared. I'm prepared to pay what the property is worth and not a cent more. And so they know that you're there, you know, because if they're trying to work...
So we're lucky in the sense that when we, you know, they know us as buyer's agents, so they're not going to necessarily play these games. But if you're a first home buyer or a first time investor, you absolutely are going to be worked over by the agent in terms of finding out this information about you. So it's absolutely critical that you play those games. Oh, I saw you. You said you bid on 2 Jones Street last week and that one went higher. So you're telling me you've got more? So if that, you know, they've got you in a corner, perfect line, what you just said, look, I'm prepared to pay what I think the property's worth and not a dollar more.
Mm.
So all of a sudden, they're seeing you as someone who has reasonable negotiating skills. What they absolutely, you know, they salivate about is a young couple or a couple going through a house and being emotionally talking, oh, this is beautiful and the kids can be out the back and I can't wait to have the dinner parties here. If that's all an earshot of the agent, you've got a couple of asterisks going next to your name right now because as far as they're concerned, they're the ones, you know, you're going to be one of their best buyers and you're going to be paying an emotional price for that property.
They've just booked a restaurant with the crayfish and the caviar because they know what you're up to. So the other thing is they're unlikely to cut serious buyers out. It can happen.
Mm.
But the agent's nirvana is to get 2 people interested to drive the price up.
Totally.
So you don't have to panic at that point. If they say there's another buyer, that's okay. I'm still interested. I'm prepared to pay what the property's worth. And then don't be afraid to buy some time. Because it's not as... It can happen, Ben, as you know, but it's unlikely to happen that an agent who knows that you're on the hook is just going to go, oh, you didn't get back to me for an hour. I sold it to someone else. Because they want to... It's like at auction when they squeeze out every last drop of the bid. They want to do that for their client as well. So don't panic.
Yeah.
Buy yourself some time.
I agree. And don't chase the agent too often.
Mm.
If you're constantly ringing the agent, they know again that you're really excited about this property.
Mm.
So you don't want to miss out. And you, in the mind, you're going, but there's other buyers. There's other buyers. What if they sell it? Or I've got to keep ringing. They know that. So you want to be very clear about when it gets to the serious decision being made, you know, I will put my best foot forward.
Mm.
Until such time, we're either going to auction and I can see it all transparently play out in front of me. But if there is an offer that the vendor is willing to accept, give me the courtesy of a phone call and I'll give you the courtesy of telling you whether I'm going to, you know, gazump them or whether I'm going to basically stay where I am.
I have some interest in this property. Please send me a contract. Please keep me posted of any activity on the property. That's a great starting point. That's what the agent wants to know. And they're not going to take you off their list to call if you're making those sorts of statements. Yeah.
And again, if you're being rude and obnoxious or not giving them enough information, they may not ring you.
Mm.
And there are examples of that where people tell us all the time, they didn't ring us back. They sold it.
Mm.
Like they had, because that, you know, someone went in there and basically had all of that information, the check on the everything signed. Now that's a bird in the hand, mm-hmm. you know. So our job is to make sure that you know that that could happen, but don't be too over eager about ringing up all the time and saying every 12 hours that's basically going to be the case. So there you go.
Very good. So there's a few for you if you're off this weekend, Ben. Number one, it's not just about the price, finding the mentor motivation. Two, cash is still king. Number three, don't be afraid to make a knockout offer. Number four, clever is silly. Silly is clever. Number five, it all starts at hello.
Hello.
Number six is know a couple of key metrics. And number seven is have a plan B in place. Now, it's important to remember how a real estate agent earns a living, Ben. They don't get paid by the hour. They get paid for outcomes, success, and results.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what they need to do is they need to be very good at marketing to bring people to the property.
You can't sell a secret.
Can't sell a secret. They need to be very good at communication, both verbal and non-verbal, and they need to be very good at negotiating.
Mm.
So don't be naive. The agents are negotiating all the time. Always be, remember that movie, Always Be Closing? They always be negotiating.
Yep, always. That's what they do.
So an agent negotiates for a living, so you've got to be prepared in advance if you want to sort of balance the ledger in some ways. Or, of course, get a buyer's agent.
Yep, you can seek some, you know, go to the Pippa website, have a look in the area. You know, big plug for Pippa. Pippa members, that's their job. They're specialists and professionals of what they do. They work to a strict code of conduct. So if you're looking for a great buyer's agent, good place to start. Reba's another good place to look for buyer's agents as well.
Yep, no, well said, Ben. So the other thing coming up too, Ivis, is we've got, when we had Josh and Jenna, they mentioned the real estate stylist. We've got them coming on.
Oh.
We had them coming on before, but it was nice that Josh and Jenna gave them a little edification there. But they're going to teach you and me, Ben, a couple of buffhead blokes, about styling. And so our listeners are going to...
People see how I dress.
And these guys, these gals, Amy and Sarah... are wonderful at what they do. So,
and I'm coming from a long way back.
Yeah. Well, not just about dress, mate, about real estate.
No, I'm talking about that. I'm not worried about my dress code.
Mate, you look sharp. Don't worry about that. Tips for styling in the spring and summer market. They're going to be amongst other things, aren't they, Office? So,
that's good. That's exciting.
We're excited. A couple of
superstar stylists in the house. Might get a few tips on my little Renault at the moment. Yes.
Yes.
Might have to help me out a bit.
There we go. So stay tuned, folks. We all guest is over, but we're still going to get some very good guests up until the end of the year, Ivis. Are we going to give it a little tease on a couple of the others, or are we just going to...
Yeah, I think so.
We got Alan Kohler
coming on. That's very exciting.
How good is that?
I know.
He's interviewed me for Qantas.
In flight.
Mm-hmm. So I get to turn the tables. How good's that?
Yeah. And he's a property investor, Alan. So that's good. So he's obviously got the constant investor, which is also something passionate about. I mean, the guy has very clear ideas about the way in which equity markets work, the economy works. So obviously presenter on ABC. So that's exciting to have him coming up as well.
And we've got Pete Wargent coming up. He was a very intelligent fellow.
Yes,
wasn't he?
Yes. We've been able to put that one in the can. I know we're not meant to say that, but you know, this is an authentic podcast. So we've been able to
smash the magic of television. I know.
That's pre-record, but he's great.
He was terrific. And
we had to get him before he was going over to the UK. That's why we had to record it.
And we're also going to do one in Dallas, Texas, mate. We're actually going to hit record when we're over there. We'll bring the podcast international. So there's a fair bit going on.
Lots to look forward to coming up to Christmas.
Which is very, very good. But Ben, for a life hack today, we've actually got a listener life hack.
Beautiful.
We've thrown the call out there for people to go on to thepropertycouch.com.au. There's a little widget on the side. I'm fully encouraging you to leave your life hacks. So check this one out, folks.
Hi, Ivis, Bryce and Ben. Thanks again for an excellent show. My life hack today is most important task. So that would be that you promise yourself that you do something every day, or at least most days, to head towards your goal. So maybe that is ultimate fitness, and you might do 10 push-ups a day. Maybe you would like to be excellent in another language, and you'd spend half an hour talking to somebody in that language every day.
Wow, all about consistency.
Mate, it's all about just basically application. There's your 10 push-ups.
10 push-ups, did you see that?
5 squats, your 10 push-ups.
I haven't missed a beat. Just as an update.
Just got five.
Yeah, still doing the five squads.
But no, look, the point being, it's not about us. It is about message.
We've got a few blokes who, guys and gals, who listen to us, you know, while they're in the gym.
Oh, do they?
They must be falling off their chair at the thought of how pathetic we are.
But great message.
Yeah, but they'd be impressed that we're consistent.
Yep, and now I think that's the message that we're hearing, that is all about consistency. So thank you very much for that.
Alistair, that was wonderful. So folks, keep bringing those life hacks. We want to know which ones you're implementing. We want to know if you've implemented some of my ones and if they've actually had an impact, Ben. So have you done the apple cider vinegar yet? No.
I can't remember what it is. No, I didn't. For sleeping, I know what it is. No, but 10,000 hours, works. Isn't it? 10,000 hours, it works. Consistency.
Yeah, love
it. How do you become
Did you know?
Okay, let me just get ready because I'm highly organised for did you know. So, did you know? Crime is on the rise, especially murders in Australia. That is not true. In fact, so just a couple of bits, you know, about Australia. Yeah, a bit of myth busting. No, it isn't. Crime isn't on the rise. Not only is murder rate in Australia one of the world's lowest at under 2 per 100,000 each year, but it has fallen to record lows over the past 5 years. So that's good news. So crime isn't on the rise, especially murders. It's good to know. Now, not my next one, because I only got two today. And basically the second one is all around speeding. Now, I'm not advocating for speeding.
Right.
Because that's just wrong, everyone. Don't speed. Do the right thing. But a lot of people think that speed is the number one cause of road deaths. It's not, Bryce. It's not. Did you know that the number one cause of road deaths could be distraction, falling asleep, or intoxication?
Ooh.
In terms of speed being the cause, is usually somewhere between 2 and 4 each year. So it's not always number one.
Okay.
Distraction.
But is there a combo? What if I'm distracted by speeding? Does it just get ticked as distraction?
Or how would you tell? It's probably a good point. I mean, if someone survives, that's how they probably take the record. I don't know.
Well, I just see that they were flicking a text. Mate, the biggest one I'm worried about is distraction. Who was it telling me that? Was it you telling me the other day? Someone was eating a bowl of pasta as they were going down the highway.
Driving.
It gets worse. Driving from the Gulf Coast. You know the big
four lane? Yeah.
Eating a bowl of pasta while they're driving and looking at a book while they're driving. Is that just not like the scariest thing you've heard?
And everyone, that wasn't a self-driving car.
No.
So that wasn't a Tesla or anything like that.
No, that wasn't a Tesla.
Look, I think the distraction is obviously texting.
Yeah.
That's, you know, killing more and more people, you know, and also pedestrians and cyclists. So come on, everyone.
So this, you know, did you know, turned into a community service? Well,
it did a little bit of community service now.
Don't text and drive.
No, that's it. Just concentrate on the road, everyone. Thank you very much.
Well, I didn't know those, Ben, so thank you for that. But there you go, folks. There's some tips.
For spring.
And we hope if you're in the market this week that you actually get the property you want. Because property is a wonderful, wonderful vehicle. And they read my article, Ben. Next month in the Money magazine, you'll see that I've well and truly reinforced that over the long term. So, very good.
Love it.
Anything from you, Ivis?
Oh, what's that? A webinar coming up? Okay, we'll keep an eye out for that on Location Score. We're getting that sorted out moments away.
And what? Happy that there's not two episodes a week at the moment. Yeah.
Anything else, okay. Ivis? No? Any words of wisdom?
No.
Other than get organised next time, when putting a podcast together.
She noticed how the way that we kept that banter going, she can't trim that in edit.
No.
So that's which she's been known to do. So there you go, folks. Our message to you this spring is those 7 points. Hopefully you negotiate a good deal. But mate, until next week.
Get out there and buy some great property, but also remember that knowledge is empowering, but only if you act on it.
Very true. Until next week, folks, we'll see you later.